believe Deborah Ryan was first up. It's a little bit hard when they're on Zoom to check that they're all ready to go. So hopefully she's there. You can stay here if you want. They're all appearing by Zoom, so.
Tēnā koutou. Ko Deborah Ryan, toku ingoa. My statement, summary statement's been circulated this morning, so I'm proposing to read from that.
Thank you.
I'm the author of the Section 42A air quality report. In my report, I noted that there are potential effects on air quality from construction and operational activities. For construction, the principal concern is the effects of dust from construction on amenity values and related nuisance impacts, deposition of dust at dwellings near the construction activities has the potential to cause soiling of property and to contaminate roof water supplies. In the operational phase, there is a potential for adverse effects on air quality from both dust from the freight hub activities and emissions from vehicles and diesel train engines operating at the site. Operational emissions, therefore, have the potential to cause adverse effects on amenity values, nuisance impacts, and effects on human health, such as from products of diesel combustion, and particulate matter that's smaller than 10 microns in diameter. This contaminant is managed under the Resource Management National Environmental Standards for Air Quality. KiwiRail has agreed that construction air quality effects are appropriate for the panel to consider in the context of the NOR, particularly the potential effects of dust on amenity. For the construction phase, Dr. Havelt and I agree that the risk of impacts from dust discharges is high and that a dust management plan is needed. We both agree that air quality monitoring for particulate matter during construction is appropriate, but we have recommended different approaches to monitoring. Dr. Havelt's statement of evidence includes PM10 monitoring alongside total suspended particulate and dust, deposited dust. For reasons stated in my Section 42A report, I prefer real-time PM10 monitoring concurrent with PM2.5. In my opinion, there is little value in also monitoring TSP and deposited dust, and I would prefer to see monitoring effort invested in real-time light scattering instruments. As I also discussed in my Section 42A report, the real-time approach circumvents the need to establish background concentrations. This is because the analysis that is possible with continuous logging of PM10 concentration data both upwind and downwind of the site. Dr. Havelt discussed a yardstick of acceptability for dust measurement based on 24-hour average and 30-day averages as with specified criteria. As I discussed in my Section 42A report, I prefer a one-hour average monitoring trigger value, which allows a proactive response to managing dust and can therefore minimise the potential for an event to result in adverse effects off-site. Using longer averaging periods, as suggested by Dr. Havelt, is a retrospective approach. I further note that to be an effective management tool, the monitoring sites need to be appropriately located, particularly given the scale of the site, prevailing winds, and the locations of sensitive receivers. I note that while Dr. Havelt agreed with both a construction dust management plan and dust monitoring during construction, neither of these matters were provided for in KiwiRail's condition set dated 13th of August. I support the conditions put forward by Ms. Copplestone as being appropriate for addressing these matters. Here, I'm referring to the PNCC's current working version of the conditions as distributed today. In the time since writing my Section 42A report, I have further considered that during construction, there is a potential for odour and contaminated dust such as from excavation of contaminated land, including hydrocarbons and on-farm dumps. In providing my recommendations, I have assumed that the potential effects on air quality associated with contaminated land will be appropriately managed through specific plans developed following detailed site investigations, as advised by Ms. Bell. For clarity, I have not considered these matters in my assessment, nor within the recommended conditions relating to air quality. This is because I consider the risks from odour will be low and that measures to manage and contain contaminated materials will be addressed under the relevant NES. KiwiRail has not fully considered the potential effects on air quality from the operational phase as part of the NOR. KiwiRail is proposing to address amenity impacts from dust during the freight hub operation and has proposed an operational dust management plan. Although I note that Dr. Hervelt agreed that an operational air quality management plan is appropriate to address wider air quality matters, KiwiRail considers that the other emissions, such as from train engines, are more appropriately addressed at the Regional Council consenting stage. In further discussions with Ms. Copplestone, I understand that the one plan contains permitted activity rules for discharges under Rule 15-14, which covers activities that are part of the freight hub proposal. In particular, the subparts below appear to be relevant. H relates to servicing and repair of trains, N relates to handling of bulk products, and U, construction and use of industrial and trade premises. In my experience, I'm not aware of any regional consents that authorise emissions from the freight handling, such as logs and bulk solids, as well as trains and truck movements. I am aware that air quality issues are associated with similar facilities elsewhere. However, one example is at Mount Maunganui at the Port of Tauranga, which includes log handling and bulk storage along with transportation sources. The Bay of Plenty Regional Council has undertaken a comprehensive air quality monitoring in this area and determined that the area is a polluted airshed under the National Environmental Standards for Air Quality. A joint witness statement relating to the regional plan provisions for Mount Maunganui sets out the findings related to bulk storage and log handling activities that have been associated with exceedances of the NES for air quality. The relevant standard there is 50 micrograms as a 24-hour average. And at one particular location, there's been 20 exceedances measured of that standard. At the worst location, the rail yard south, the annual average for PM10 was 30 micrograms per cubic metre, and this compares with the ambient air quality guideline value of 20. Ms. Bell has assessed that regional consents are not anticipated to be needed for air discharges from the operations, although she has proposed an operational dust management plan. I assume, therefore, that Ms. Bell expects the freight hub operations will comply with Rule 15-14 standards. Of relevance are the permitted activity standards, A, relating to compliance with the NES for air quality, and B, odour and dust not being offensive or objectionable. Ms. Bell notes that bulk earthworks for construction will need regional consents and refers to a construction dust management plan being needed under regional consents for bulk earthworks. I assume that any regional consents for air discharges from construction and operations relates to potential for non-compliance with the Rule 15-14U, which is the permitted activity for construction and use of an industrial and trade premise. I understand Ms. Copplestone will address Section 15.2 of the Resource Management Act, that the freight hub includes movable sources or not otherwise authorised, i.e. that's the trains and trucks, and that these must comply with National Environmental Standards under 15.2. In my opinion, while specific activities under Rule 14 may be covered as permitted activities, the cumulative effects of the freight hub operations, including in combination with emissions from trains and trucks, have the potential to breach the National Environmental Standards for Air Quality for PM10. Therefore, while I understand that on balance, Ms. Copplestone's view is that the potential impacts of the operations on air quality are principally a regional council function, there may be a potential jurisdictional gap because the regional council does not regulate mobile sources of PM10 through the regional plan. As I stated in my Section 42A report, I recommended to Palmerston North City Council that additional information was sought to understand the nature and scale of the effects on air quality. In my opinion, KiwiRail's Section 92 reply and Dr. Havelt's evidence have not substantiated KiwiRail's conclusions that operational air quality effects will comply with the National Environmental Standards on Air Quality. While KiwiRail has agreed that dust is an issue and requires management, I note that dust sources like log yards may also contain PM10 in concentrations that can impact on air quality, so that in my view, the issues of dust and National Environmental Standards compliance cannot be so easily separated. Advising PNCC that further information as to the effects on air quality was needed for the NOR application was based on my experience with the scope and level of the assessments for other NOR applications that I've been involved with. For example, Waka Kotahi-led projects, including roads of national significance, like Puhoi to Warkworth. I'm also currently involved in reviewing the Riverlink project for Hutt City Council, where a considerable level of detail on construction and operational effects on air quality has been provided. In my experience, these significant infrastructure projects comprehensively assess the impacts of construction dust, identifying the potential effects and key risk areas at the NOR stage. This is even where regional consents were not being sought for air discharges. In this case, even though KiwiRail has identified construction dust as an issue, a meaningful assessment of construction dust in the accordance with good practice was not provided, and consequently, I used available information to inform my own assessment. While the level of assessment for operational effects on air quality does not reflect the level that Waka Kotahi routinely provides, I accept that PNCC considers air quality is principally a regional council concern. The issues I have raised with the Freight Hub air quality assessments have arisen largely because KiwiRail offered conditions relating to dust that I considered lacking in effectiveness. Ms. Copplestone and I also formed the view that if it was appropriate for KiwiRail to offer an operational dust management plan, then it would also be appropriate for construction dust to be assessed at a similar level or addressed. I've recommended monitoring of air quality for the construction and operational phases to inform dust management measures and to ensure the effectiveness of dust controls. The proposed method using light scattering instruments are low cost and provide real-time data that has many advantages over more traditional dust monitoring methods. While being useful for dust nuisance, they will also be informative as to the impacts of particulate matter discharges on the National Environmental Standards for Air Quality for PM10. PM2.5 is also measured concurrently with the same instrument. While indicative, the approach of measuring both PM10 and PM2.5 provides more accuracy overall. The data from my recommended monitoring will therefore be appropriate for considering amenity or nuisance, as well as providing indicative data for health effects of particulate matter discharges. I've reviewed the working version of the conditions recommended by Ms. Copplestone, and I agree that her recommendations provide an appropriate mechanism for addressing the potential for effects of dust during the construction and operation of the freight hub. In general, the necessary controls for construction dust are well understood and documented elsewhere. I am confident that appropriately prepared and independently approved management plans with real-time dust monitoring can provide the mechanism for minimising the risk of adverse effects due to the loss of amenity and nuisance.
Thank you, Ms. Ryan. That was an intellectually steep hill to climb at this hour. But I think the gist of what you were saying is that with a refined monitoring regime that's simplified from that suggested by KiwiRail and reflected in the conditions that Ms. Copplestone will give us, you're reasonably confident that the dust effects will be appropriately monitored and managed.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. I'll just check if the commissioners have any questions. Commissioner Sweetman.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ryan. No questions from me. You were very succinct and easy to follow and understand. So thank you.
That comes from someone with 30 years' experience in dust conditions. Commissioner Mackinson.
No questions from me. Thank you very much.
And Commissioner Pomari.
Good, Ms. Ryan. No questions from me either. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate your time.